A Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge. Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a source that's, well, it's less just a book and maybe more like an encyclopedia for your own mind. We are plunging into Tony Robbins' really influential work, Awaken the Giant Within.
It really is his magnum opus, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's huge, a very dense, practical workbook. I mean, hundreds of pages designed for transformation.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people pick it up, get excited, but then maybe get a bit overwhelmed, all the tasks.
Exactly. There's so much actionable stuff in there. That's sort of why we're here, right?
Yeah.
To give you the shortcut, to distill those core strategies for personal mastery.
So our mission today is really to get to the heart of it. What's the core mechanism Robbins is offering? The central question seems incredibly practical. It's like, how can you actually gain control over your inner world?
Mm-hmm.
You know, thoughts, emotions, behaviors.
To get the outer results you want, the tangible things in life.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And in a world that, let's be honest, often feels pretty chaotic, maybe random.
Mm-hmm.
Robbins' core promise is actually incredibly empowering. He's basically saying lasting change isn't about luck. It's not chance.
No, it's a product, a direct result of mastering your own psychology. And he argues you can do that using specific, learnable strategies, repeatable ones. It's more like a formula than, you know, some kind of miracle.
Okay, so let's talk about the man himself, Tony Robbins. He's probably the most recognizable figure in, what, peak performance? Certainly the loudest, maybe.
Yeah, he's got presence. Tony Robbins. He's a really fascinating figure. And it's important to understand, he's not coming from a traditional academic background, not a licensed psychologist.
Right. His credibility isn't from a university degree, is it?
Not at all. It's forged entirely from decades, literally decades of intense real-world application, working directly with millions of people, seminars, coaching. His authority really stems from the results he gets, measurable results.
And that application, that's the distinctive piece, I think. He didn't necessarily invent all the raw ingredients.
You know, he's a synthesizer.
Exactly. He pulled together things like NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, cognitive psychology, behavioral science, and he kind of distilled them into his own very actionable system, what he calls neuroassociative conditioning.
Yeah.
NAC.
And his own story is kind of the ultimate case study, isn't it? He talks openly about transforming his own life. Difficult background, impoverished, even homeless for a bit.
Left in his car, yeah.
To advising presidents, world leaders, top athletes. I mean, Serena Williams, Andre Agassi. You see that kind of high stakes application.
And tells you something.
It tells you this isn't just motivational fluff. It's a toolkit that works under pressure. A performance toolkit.
That real world contest is key then. This book isn't meant to be just read passively on the sofa.
No way. It's designed to be used actively. It demands immediate action, measurable change. You pick it up when you're ready to say, okay, I'm driving this bus now, not just being a passenger.
So that brings us right to the central argument, the big idea. Robbins says everyone has this huge untapped power inside, the giant.
The dormant giant, yeah. And you awaken it by consciously mastering your psychology. He argues that your life isn't shaped so much by what happens to you.
External events.
Right. But by the meaning you give those events, and then, crucially, the decisions you make in response.
I found his computer programming metaphor really useful here. The idea that we're all running on these subconscious programs.
Totally. Beliefs, values, rules for how life works. And the thing is, most of them got installed kind of randomly, based on past experiences, maybe things people told us, not through conscious choice.
So we're running on old code, basically.
Exactly. And his mission is to teach you how to become the master programmer, to stop being controlled by that old, maybe buggy code, and instead consciously choose and install programs that actually lead you towards success, fulfillment, whatever it is you want.
So the book is the manual for re-engineering those deep beliefs, swapping out the limiting ones for empowering ones.
That's the core of it. And it's holistic, too. You mentioned it's not just about mindset in isolation.
No, he covers what he calls the five areas of mastery.
Mm.
Emotional, physical, relationships, financial, and time mastery.
Right. It's a whole life approach. His argument is, you know, if you crush it financially, but your relationships are a mess or your health is terrible, you're not going to experience true fulfillment. It needs balance.
Okay, so let's get into the engine room, the core mechanisms of change. If we want to wake that giant up, where does Robbins say we absolutely have to start?
Right at the foundation. The single most powerful concept in the whole book, arguably. Decisions.
Decisions, not conditions. I remember that phrase.
That's the mantra. It's your decisions, not your circumstances, that shape your destiny, period. He breaks it down into these three micro decisions we're making constantly, often without even realizing it.
Okay, what are they?
One, what are you going to focus on? Two, what does this thing mean? And three, what are you going to do about it? Master those three.
You master your life.
Okay. But why is making a real decision and actually sticking to it? Why is that so hard sometimes?
Well, that leads directly to the next absolutely critical piece, maybe the most foundational principle, the pain-pleasure principle.
Okay, explain that.
Every single thing we do or don't do is driven by this primal urge. Avoid pain or gain pleasure. That's it. So when we fail to change, when we stay stuck.
In a bad job or a relationship that isn't working.
Exactly. It's because, subconsciously, our brain associates more pain with the act of changing, the unknown, the effort, the fear of maybe failing, than it does with the dull, chronic pain of staying put.
Wow. So inertia isn't laziness. It's just our internal emotional calculation.
That's how he frames it. It's an emotional equation. And that's why just relying on willpower often fails.
Because the subconscious association is stronger.
Precisely. You have to consciously, forcefully reverse that emotional equation. And that's where his system, neuroassociative conditioning, NAC, comes in. He really challenges the whole idea that change has to be slow and painful. Right. He's all about rapid change.
Mm-hmm.
So NAC is his formula for that.
It's a 6-step process. Now, we don't have time to break down all 6 in detail, but the absolute key one, the one listeners need to grasp, is step 2. Get leverage.
Leverage. What does that mean practically?
It means applying immense emotional force. You have to consciously sit down and vividly, intensely associate massive, almost unbearable pain with not changing. What will it cost you in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years? Feel that pain.
Okay.
And then just as vividly associate massive, immediate, incredible pleasure with the experience of actually changing right now. The pride, the freedom, the excitement.
Sounds quite intense. Almost like you're forcing yourself, manipulating your own emotions.
It is intense. But he argues it works because it hacks our basic operating system. You're using your own drives, pain avoidance, pleasure seeking for the change you want instead of letting them keep you stuck.
So you create such a strong emotional break that the old pattern just isn't an option anymore.
That's the goal. Make the old way unthinkable. Okay, so you've used leverage. You've made the decision to change. How do you manage yourself day to day, moment to moment?
Right, the daily maintenance. That's where the triad comes in, isn't it?
Exactly. The triad is absolutely cornerstone for controlling your emotional state in real time. Robbins teaches that emotions aren't just random things that happen to us.
They're controllable.
They are phenomena we create based on 3 interconnected patterns. The triad. Number 1 is physiology, how you use your body posture, breathing, movement.
Okay.
Number 2 is focus. What are you paying attention to? What questions are you asking yourself? And number 3 is your language beliefs, the words you use, the meanings you make.
And the key is that they're linked. Change one.
And you instantly change your emotional state. They work together like 3 levers controlling the same machine. Change anyone and the whole state shifts.
I found the physiology part the most immediately powerful.
Mm.
Just the idea that if you're feeling down and you physically force yourself to stand tall, shoulders back, breathe deeply.
You change your biochemistry instantly. You send a different signal to your brain. You can't feel depressed if you're physically embodying confidence and power. It's almost impossible.
That makes sense. And that connects to focus, right? Because where you put your attention.
Where focus goes, energy flows. He repeats that constantly. Your life quality is largely determined by the quality of the questions you habitually ask yourself.
So catching yourself asking those disempowering questions, like, why me? Or why is this so hard?
And consciously replacing them. What can I learn here? How can I turn this around? What's great about this? Empowering questions shift focus, which shifts state.
And the third part of the triad, language beliefs. Using words differently. Can you give a quick example of that, that transformational vocabulary idea?
Sure. It's about realizing language programs your nervous system. So let's say something mildly inconvenient happens, like you spill coffee. If your default reaction is to say, I'm furious, this is a disaster.
You ramp up the emotion.
Massively. You send a huge pain signal. But if you consciously choose less intense words, like, okay, that's annoying, or frustrating.
Right. Dial it down immediately.
By like 80% often. You literally lower the emotional intensity hitting your nervous system. It stops small things becoming huge emotional dramas. Simple, but incredibly effective.
Okay, so that's the core mind management system. Now, the book also has this practical 7-day challenge section. Let's touch on a couple of key days there. Day 2 is physical destiny. Why is that so foundational?
Well, he's adamant. Peak physical vitality is the platform for everything else. You can't sustain high performance emotionally, financially, whatever, if you're physically drained.
Right, running on empty.
Exactly. So he focuses on simple foundational things like deep breathing exercises, massive hydration, shifting towards a more alkaline diet, basic stuff, but it creates the energy needed for everything else.
Connects the inner and outer. Okay, let's jump to day 5. Personal rules. This one hit me as being huge for relationships.
Oh, massively. This unpacks a major source of frustration for so many people. We all have these unspoken rules, conditions that have to be met for us to feel certain emotions. Loved, respected, successful.
But we rarely communicate them.
Exactly. So if your rule for feeling loved is, say, my partner has to anticipate my needs without me saying anything, you've basically set up a rule that makes it incredibly difficult to ever feel loved consistently.
You're setting them up to fail.
And yourself up to feel bad. The goal here is to become aware of your rules and then consciously design rules that make it easy to feel good and hard to feel bad. Getting clear on these unwritten contracts can just dissolve years of conflict.
That clarity about rules then flows naturally into day 6. Values and goals, right? Because you need to know what you're aiming for.
Precisely. You need to uncover your true core values. What emotional states matter most to you? Freedom, security, growth, love, adventure.
And why is knowing your values so critical for goals?
Because if you set goals that aren't actually aligned with your deepest values, you'll constantly fight yourself. You won't have that intrinsic motivation. You'll probably self-sabotage. Your values act like a compass, ensuring your goals and decisions actually lead you toward a life that feels genuinely meaningful and authentic to you.
Okay, so pulling back a bit now. All these concepts, decisions, pain, pleasure, NAC, the triad, rules, values, they kind of weave together, don't they, into some core philosophies?
Yeah, definitely. Let's try and synthesize maybe 4 essential themes that really jump out from the whole book.
Okay, theme 1.
I'd say it's the absolute power of decision. This is the ultimate call to personal agency. It's saying, point blank, your destiny is shaped by your conscious choices, not your background, not your circumstances, your decisions. Full stop.
It's a direct challenge to any kind of victim mentality. So, a reflection for listeners, what's one significant decision you know you need to make that maybe you've been putting off?
Good one. Okay, theme 2 has to be mastery of state. The idea that the quality of your life is the quality of your habitual emotional state.
Right. Emotions aren't just things that randomly happen.
No. They're signals, action signals. Mm. And you are the director of your state, not just an actor reacting to whatever life throws at you. You can choose how you feel.
So reflection 2, thinking about the last week, how often did you consciously choose your emotional state versus just reacting?
Okay, theme 3, beliefs as the blueprint. This is huge. Beliefs are just feelings of certainty about what something means. They aren't necessarily true in some objective sense.
But they create our reality.
They absolutely create our reality. Limiting beliefs are like invisible walls we build around ourselves. So the goal is to become a belief detective, find the limiting ones, question them, and consciously install empowering ones.
Like an example might be a limiting belief about money or success that you maybe picked up unconsciously.
Exactly. What's one limiting belief, maybe about your own capabilities or what's possible for you, that you might need to dismantle right now?
And the final theme. This one elevates it, I think.
Yeah, theme 4 is contribution. Robbins really pushes beyond just self-improvement for its own sake. He argues that the ultimate secret to living, to true lasting fulfillment, is giving. Using your self-mastery for something bigger than yourself.
Serving others, family, community, the world.
That's where the deepest joy comes from, according to him, moving beyond your own needs.
It's powerful stuff. And his writing style, it's full of these punchy, memorable lines, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. He has a real knack for coining phrases that stick.
Yeah.
Let's share a few key quotes or core ideas that really capture the essence.
Okay, go for it.
Quote 1, we've touched on it. It is in your moments of decision that your destiny is shaped. Just pure agency. No excuses.
Quote 2. The secret of success is learning how to use pain and pleasure. Instead of having pain and pleasure, use you. That sums up that core mechanism, right? Consciously directing those drives.
Yep. Quote 3, where focus goes, energy flows. So simple but profound. highlights the absolute criticality of managing your attention. It dictates everything.
Connects right back to the triad. And maybe one more.
How about, the quality of your life is the quality of your relationships. Anchors it all. Reminds us that ultimate fulfillment isn't just about individual achievement, it's deeply interpersonal.
Okay, so this book is obviously intensely practical. Let's nail down three specific ways someone listening could apply these principles, like today or tomorrow.
Great idea. Application one, instantly. Shifting a bad mood, feeling stressed, overwhelmed, frustrated. Use the triad immediately.
How? Step by step.
Okay. First, physiology. Stand up right now, pull your shoulders back, take three slow, deep belly breaths. Force a smile, even if it feels fake at first. Second, focus. Deliberately ask yourself, what is one thing I am genuinely grateful for in this moment? Just one.
Find something. Anything.
Anything. Your health, someone you love, the sun shining. Focus on it intently for maybe 30 seconds. That whole process, less than 2 minutes, your state will shift, guaranteed.
Okay, powerful. Application two.
Overcoming procrastination. Use that pain pleasure principle. Feeling resistance to starting something important.
Yeah, that dread.
Stop trying to just push through it. Instead, take 5 minutes. First, vividly imagine and feel the massive pain of not doing this task. What are the long-term consequences? Regret, failure, lost opportunity. Feel it deeply.
Ouch. Okay.
Then immediately pivot. Vividly imagine and feel the massive pleasure of taking action right now. The pride, the relief, the sense of accomplishment, the momentum it creates. Get excited about it. You're literally creating the emotional drive, the leverage to get started.
Using the principle proactively. Nice. And a third application, maybe relationship focused.
Definitely. Use the personal rules concept. Feeling constantly misunderstood or let down by someone close, a partner, colleague, family member.
Stop suffering in silence with unspoken expectations.
Exactly. Initiate a calm, direct conversation. Ask them clearly. Help me understand. What specifically has to happen for you to feel truly respected or loved or appreciated or supported by me in our interactions?
Just ask the question directly.
Just ask. And be prepared to share your own rules, too. Getting clarity on these underlying rules of the game can honestly resolve misunderstandings that have been causing friction for years. It's incredibly high impact.
Fantastic. Really concrete stuff. Okay, as we wrap up, what's your single biggest takeaway from diving back into this huge work?
For me, it always comes back to the sheer power of personal agency that this book drills into you. It's this unwavering conviction that your past doesn't have to equal your future, that you are the creator of your experience. You walk away feeling like that giant inside. It isn't just some nice metaphor. It's real potential just waiting for a conscious decision to unleash it.
Yeah, I agree. What really struck me this time was how much deeper it goes than just motivation. It really is an encyclopedic manual for applied psychology. And it's not about reaching some static finish line, is it? It's about committing to what he calls CANI.
Constant, never-ending improvement.
Right. The real goal isn't just hitting one target, but actually learning to enjoy the process of always growing, always becoming more. It's a philosophy for life, really.
Yeah.
Perpetual growth.
Well said. So maybe the final thought, a challenge for everyone listening. As you think about all this, what is one specific limiting belief, maybe about money, relationships, health, your own potential, that you are now ready, truly ready, to challenge, dismantle, and replace with an empowering belief starting today?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.